This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.
Hi, I'm Linda Levy, the president of the Fragrance Foundation, based in New York City for the USA. And what I love about beauty, and of course, it's specific to fragrance, is that I have a mission at the Fragrance Foundation, which is to inspire the world to discover the artistry and passion of fragrance. And I am hysterically passionate about fragrance.
Fragrance touches so many parts of our lives, from the scents we wear to our memories and the customer experiences across hospitality and retail. The Fragrance Foundation is a nonprofit organization that is the premier resource for industry expertise, innovation, and education. Hear how President Linda Levy is leading the foundation's mission to move the industry forward with initiatives on sustainability and also highlighting the artisans behind the industry.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
So this is Karen Moon. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Beauty is Your Business. I'm here with Abby Wallach.
Great to be here.
So just for background, when Linda came in, she actually gave us all these like beautiful gifts, which is a really cool tote that is for the Fragrance Foundation. And one of the things you said is that you don't skimp on quality, right? So for background, for the audience, I think not everyone knows, for the newer entrepreneurs and people, about what industry organizations like yourself do and actually like how important it is and how it brings together people in the industry. Can you tell us a little bit more about the mission and your guys' roles and a little bit about the membership?
Thank you for asking. I would be very happy to. I have been in the beauty industry for 20 plus years. I worked at L'Oreal and Lauder and Coty and P&G and Macy's. And throughout my entire career, I knew about the Fragrance Foundation as I got to the last phase before this particular position I was on the board. So at the time that I took on the position about 2.5 years ago, I realized that we were really not doing enough, and I was very enthusiastic. And my biggest mission that unites the entire community is about engaging consumers in fragrance. So if you don't know this already, the Fragrance Foundation has about 80-plus company members. So if you are a member through your company, everyone in the company is a member and participates. At the time that I took on this position, I went on a listening tour. Sounds a little like a politician. But I really wanted to talk to everyone and validate what they really wanted to accomplish, because this is a not-for-profit organization. We basically make all our money through membership or the big Oscars of the fragrance industry in June, which I could tell you about. So the long story short is we came up with what do we want to do together. So it's really about engaging consumers. It's about nurturing talent. It's about giving back in some way that we could all unite. And it's also about really having fabulous events. That's the short version.
Linda, the Fragrance Foundation has been around for a long time. Can you give us a little bit of the history, some of the stories that, you know, take us back and bring us forward to today and where you're headed with it?
I'd be happy to. The Fragrance Foundation president, who really formulated everything for probably 3 or 4 decades, was Annette Green. When I took this job, I actually did not know Annette, and I'll get back to that in a minute. But Annette, against all odds, many, many years ago, and for about 4 decades, created a fragrance foundation that does a lot of things that we do today, but it was really at a point in time. And I would say under Annette's reign, there was a lot accomplished. And when I got here, I didn't know her. I didn't know what she did. And I came up with some very similar objectives. So Annette reigned. And last year, I named her the President Emeritus. I speak to her often. She mentors me. And she gives me a lot of good advice in terms of being president, as well as she is like, for 96 years old, like kicking it every day. She is a wild woman, or as my term, I have a term, I call it Woman of Action, WOA. In between Annette and me, there were two other presidents who were pretty terrific at what they did. One was Rochelle Bloom, who I knew from the Estee Lauder companies. She did it a few years. And just prior to me, it was Elizabeth Musmano, who does PR. I think one of the greatest things about Elizabeth is she really elevated the events, which gets back to your first comment about quality, and we could talk about it. So I would say that's pretty much the history. The members, it's interesting. There are like 30-something people on the board. And even though their companies have been members since the very beginning, the individuals themselves are different today.
Yeah, and as we talk about the membership, I mean, it's really the who's who in the industries, from retailers like Ulta to like the top, you know, beauty companies. Is it something that's accessible to entrepreneurs?
I love that question. Prior to my arrival, I think it was just the big, big companies as you're thinking of today. But over the last 2.5 years, including just today and yesterday, I've really created a big initiative to bring in very small fragrance companies. I think you both know this. You know, there have been cycles within other parts of the beauty industry where indies were really big. This is actually that kind of cycle or time, and I think it's really a good thing. So I spend a lot of time with very big companies, but I have met a lot of individuals and they have joined. The price is not very high, and I love to work with them. We embargo everything that's said in the office. I'm happy to network. I love to connect to people. I help them find resources for what they need. And I would say out of the 80-something members, there are probably about 10 at this point or 12 that are very small companies. And it's really fun to watch them, nurture them. And we also created an indie advisory committee so they could get free advice.
Great, great. That's amazing. I mean, 'cause it's like these organizations sometimes for new people, they don't realize, but really you have almost the most to gain in terms of the network and getting up to speed and the connections and the advice to your points. So that's really exciting. What else is kind of like almost the, do you feel is the responsibility and mission of the organization to help educate, especially where we're going into, there's more, you know, awareness around toxic ingredients. You know, I think Credo did a really interesting documentary on fragrance. Like, what do you feel like your role is in that to help educate both your membership and consumers?
It's a very timely question. On an ongoing basis, we have an online certification program, which is learning about history, the language of fragrance, and how to sell fragrance or how to engage a consumer. We also endorse something called Sankeum Sens, which is in person. But more about the consumer, which is the question that I really love, and the gorgeous bag that you're holding. When I got into this position, I looked on the internet and there was like a popcorn day, a lollipop day, a bagel day, a whatever day, a lipstick day, which we all know. So I declared March 21st International Fragrance Day, and we registered a trademark and a logo. It started the first year with a small way, and we've grown to what I'm going to tell you about ingredients, if I may. So every year it's about a collaboration with an artist, and it's really fun and creative because, you know, artistry in fragrance is huge as well. It's the invisible art. First year we did a graffiti wall in Bushwick, Brooklyn, with a gentleman named Marco Santini. The second year, which was last year, we had a collaboration with Michael Avedon, who's a fantastic photographer. He specializes in portraits, and we did portraits.
Is it at all related to Richard Avedon?
He's the grandson of.
Oh, amazing.
And not only that, he's also the grandson of Daniel Moynihan.
Wow.
This is one great guy. He's about 30 years old, and he has the intellect and eloquence of someone who's like 75. I love Michael. And I'm lucky enough to just be exposed to creative people. So last year, Michael, in our conference room, which you visited,
beautiful,
actually
really
shot
stunning.
He shot portraits of perfumers, and we shot videos. So the Fragrance Day last year had a campaign that was all about the artist, himself or herself, both men and women who are perfumers. This year, to get back to your question, originally I thought we needed something about ingredients that was very factual, myth versus, you know, truth. But instead, I realized we needed something very whimsical. So I met a fantastic artist designer, and fabulous personality. And her name is Rebecca Moses, and she's the artist behind that beautiful bag you have.
So beautiful, really. The colors, the vibrance. It's really, our audience can't see it, but we'll make sure we post some pictures. It's really just, it really speaks to you in a way that it's exuberant. You know, it really feel, you can feel the flavors in the colors because they're so rich. But, you know, I'm really curious about the actual talent, the master mm-hmm. perfumers that mm-hmm. you took those, mm-hmm. that beautiful campaign. Mm-hmm. How did you, you know, it is the invisible art, like you just said, which is so compelling and mm-hmm. interesting. And now you're really trying to bring those master perfumers to the surface, to the forefront, because every business and every brand and every organization has to mm-hmm. have a media component. So how are you using those media assets in a way that can really tell their stories? Are you sharing that with the consumer?
Yes.
And yeah. Tell us about that, because that's so exciting to me.
Yeah. The perfumers are a fabulous breed that have every color, race, age, shape, and size. It's not just a gentleman from Grasse, though many of them study there, which is also quite a big myth. But I would say what's exciting at the Fragrance Foundation now, and it started at the very beginning, is we brought the perfumer to the forefront. To me, having been a retailer before, mm-hmm. the perfumer was similar in The Wizard of Oz. He was like, he or she was behind the curtain.
Yes.
And instead of a perfumer who's an artist and creative force really being brought to the forefront, it didn't exist a few years ago. So with a lot of cooperation with the industry, but the storytelling is so intriguing to consumers that I think it's really going to get people to engage, similar to the food world where the chef, as we were talking about food before, mm-hmm. you know, is like the maestro in the kitchen.
Right. That's so exciting, really.
Yes.
And how, so tell us a little bit about what you're doing on Madison Avenue, because that's a very exciting moment where we can really get people involved and engaged and experiencing.
So in the last 2 years and continuing this year, all the members that are, as you mentioned, all the retailers from Bergdorf Goodman to Saks to Ulta to Sephora, Dillard's, Macy's, and everywhere else, we share our social campaign, we share our story, and they've taken it on, and it's growing every year.
I can't wait to dig in more into that. And, you know, I feel like you have such an interesting view on the market and where things are headed just from the purview where you sit. But before we do that, I would love to get into snacks.
It's snack time.
We love snacks.
Yes, we do. Well, I see this really awesome, bright and shiny orange box, and it says nuts. And I think we're all nuts about nuts, and everyone's crazy right now. But bring it on.
May I share my Purell first?
Oh, actually, that's a genius.
We knew Linda would only do the right thing.
Everyone has sold out.
It is a crazy kind of world we're in. And what did you say about me bringing nuts before? Everybody's nuts. Okay, I'll pass the Purell
to you first. And now we're globally nuts. We're not even nuts. Everyone's a little crazy. That's okay. But now the whole world is going crazy.
I'm actually a very healthy eater, even though I mentioned the chicken parmesan thing. Whoops.
Yeah.
And we have 6 different varieties of snacks today.
Yes.
Some are chocolate covered, a bit indulgent, but who knows? You might need that. Also salted and unsalted, of course, in the cashew world. Feel free.
They're a little hard to open, Linda.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but we need hermetically sealed given the current environment.
They are. What a beautiful presentation, just like everything you do.
Up next, we are going to learn more about Linda's thoughts on where the fragrance industry is headed, because as we mentioned before, there's a lot of changes.
Hi, I'm Roseanne Gold. I'm a chef, an author, a food writer, and the host of a new podcast called One Woman Kitchen. So excited to be doing this because I'm interviewing the most fascinating women in the food world. And you don't even have to be interested in the food world or be part of it to enjoy these remarkable women's stories. It's diverse, it's international, it's intergenerational. What's most exciting to me is that the concept of One Woman Kitchen means something different for everyone. You can listen to One Woman Kitchen every week at onewomankitchenshow.com, and also where all the best podcasts can be found.
So, Linda, this is really, it's just so great to have you in the studio. And we talk a lot about fragrance, and we both love fragrance so much.
Yes, we do.
So I'd love to know from your point of view, where you see the industry headed, what changes have been made? I mean, there's so much disruption in the beauty category. What are you thinking about in the fragrance world and how things are going to evolve on a global scale?
Well, one thing we spoke about was the perfumer coming from behind the curtain and really talking about the creativity. I think that will continue. We will make the perfumer part of the dialogue from this point and forever. Even when we give our awards starting 2 years ago, we don't just name the brand, we name the perfumer. Mm. It's a very big part. But the other changes that I am truly seeing have to do with other categories in beauty and beyond. One of the words we all use so very often, sustainability. Mm-hmm. We realized that in the beauty industry, skincare and makeup got ahead of us, and they've been talking about it for several years, as well as fashion, food, and a lot of categories. So this year, we're really joining together to come up with a mission and more of a universal statement for the community. I think a lot of people are misinformed. And we have a little advisory panel. We put together the heads of sustainability from different memberships, fragrance houses, brands and retailers. And we really want the consumer to not be afraid of using fragrance. Because, Abby, I'm going to ask you, how many times, and you love fragrance.
I love fragrance.
Do people say to you, I do not wear fragrance?
They do, very often.
Yeah. And it's almost like a label in certain products where it's fragrance-free. And so, like, what is the myth? And then what can you, do you know what I mean? Because, like, when we talk about fragrances also, when you look at Fermentec or IFF, fragrance is used in everything.
Yeah.
In all of our CPG products.
Well, I think things have, you know, people have sensitivities, right? And as the world evolves, things change due to the environment. And toxins and things that are just out there, and different generations have different points of view. So what I've come across just through my business and focus groups and industry experts, you know, people that love fragrance are diehard fragrance users. And the people that don't use it have allergies. They're very sensitive. It's not that they don't like fragrance. They do, but for some reason, it just doesn't work with their DNA, their chemistry. And there are other issues pertaining to that. And what I also found was that through various events throughout the country, there are no fragrance zones in specific states, which I couldn't even believe it, that the sensitivity is so grand. Yeah. I mean, really, I couldn't believe that, you know, in a certain office per se, you can't wear fragrance. And it was very disappointing to me because I think there's an opportunity that they're missing out on in many ways. But in fairness, this is happening in everything, in all industries, in food, with allergies. And people are different today. Their sensitivities, they're more conscious and they're protecting themselves. So in that regard, I think that's a positive for them. But in the regards to fragrance, it's evolving a little differently.
Is from our research that's been done on, you know, the consumer cohorts with sensitivities, are there certain types of things? And so is that helpful to, like, kind of share just so people understand that both from the consumer standpoint, you know, in terms of what to look out for, and then also from, you know, in a business standpoint to help shape.
And what other options they may have, you know.
Well, let me just say this. First of all, a lot of people say they don't use fragrance, or you refer to a fragrance-free zone. By the time anyone leaves their home, even if they did not spray a perfume or cologne on, they have taken a shower. They've probably used deodorant. They have washed
their
clothes, washed their hair, and they have touched different, you know, products that actually have brought fragrance onto their body and in their life. So that's one thing. The other thing is, a lot of people, like each of you said, think that they'll be allergic, they'll have a bad reaction, whatever. The real truth is, natural ingredients create more allergens at times than synthetic. So this education that we're talking about, I think it's just about transparency in the industry. If we listed every single ingredient that made up a fragrance, people wouldn't even know what they're reading. I think there have been some great people who have really tried to make it more simple, like Credo. Mm-hmm. Like, this is really what's what. Mm-hmm. So I go back again. I think the theme right now is consumers in every category want to know what they're putting on their bodies or ingesting or whatever, and or makeup or skincare, and we need to educate them. And that's what we are going to do. We're going to have a sustainability event on the eve of this year. It's actually Earth Day's 50th birthday.
Wow.
On April 22nd. So the night before, we're going to bring the whole industry together and we're going to deliver a mission based on everyone's input. We're going to have a big thought leader there. But more importantly, after that event, uniting the community, we're going to go to the consumer with it. Because I think the more we get it out there, social media, through retailers and otherwise, more people will be engaged in fragrance.
Well, I also think that you have such an opportunity today with the way media, you mm-hmm. can create your own media and you can educate, and you are at the top in the industry with mm-hmm. the most brilliant talent. So it's really an amazing moment for you and for the Fragrance Foundation to share that knowledge and to educate, because with education comes more engagement, more interest, and you can do it on so many different platforms to reach the consumer, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, that's who's buying the fragrance, right? We can create the best, but yes. the consumer needs to hear from you and from all of these experts mm-hmm. and innovators and companies like the IFFs and the Givaudans and Firmenichs that, you know, they're doing really great work to share.
And there's another dimension to that besides the lack of transparency, which I think we can get past. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think fragrance companies are just trying to sell fragrance to be sexy and to create what was the old model. So you started with what's different. It's time for the world to realize that the give back that goes on in those fragrance houses is huge. There are communities around the world who are sustained and have water and are educated and make some money because they are cultivating the ingredients that are used in fragrances. There's that whole story. There's right. also a great philanthropic part in the entire industry. So I think we need to just convert people to not just think we're trying to sell them and push something on them. So,
well, I think it's a great moment actually to do that. And you have all of the tools to share those stories mm-hmm. now and really enhance the education process through your awesome events. So let's talk about some of these wonderful events that you plan and what's coming.
I can't wait to share. So it's a very exciting time now because we've received all the nominations for all of the 2019 launches or some Hall of Fame, etc. So we went through the nomination process, which brought in hundreds of nominations. And because you asked about small before, it's big companies and it's very small companies. And you also do not need to be a member of the Fragrance Foundation to make a nomination. So we're now in phase two, which is the voting process mm-hmm. and expert panels. So we have certain categories that are voted on by membership. There's also a myth that if you're a member, you have a better chance of winning. It's not true. Everyone is allocated votes based on the volume in the U.S. And it only goes from 1 to 9, by the way. It's not like a big number. The other thing is we have expert panels that are going to look at editorial. They're going to look at indie. And another thing about change in the industry, we introduced, thank goodness, this year, we always had men's, we always had women's, but this year we have universal categories.
So That's great.
Many fragrances you right. know. Mm-hmm. Mention your faves and think about some of them that are, and it's true, it's not geared to men or women. It's for everyone from Le Labo to probably Byredo, or a lot of the ones that you see. So that's pretty exciting too. And we created another new category for innovation, just innovation. So the drum roll begins now. The voting is on. The expert panels will assemble next week. There is also one category that's very exciting. Most people wouldn't know about. It's called Extraordinaire, where in an agnostic bottle, a group of experts which are perfumers and others, will smell fragrances and select based on certain criteria which is the best and rate them.
So what are some of the innovations that you think are interesting and happening in the category? And do you see it happening from the indie brands or also from the larger houses?
There are a lot of different ways people categorize what's innovation.
Yep.
So I think a good example is a lot over the years, but particularly now, fragrance being integrated into jewelry, into tattoos, or to things that people wear. That's a big category. The home category has exploded. Mm-hmm. Even those people, younger people, sometimes Gen Z or X, who don't want to wear fragrance, are really into diffusers and so on.
It's about self-care. Mm-hmm.
Yes, when I'm in my dorm room, I want to feel like I'm in a Zen mode, and I want to put that candle next to me.
It's true. It's very much a part of the fabric of one's lifestyle today.
Yeah, and many look at innovation also as new ingredients. Or new delivery systems, or how it feels when you put it on. You know what I mean, Abby?
I do know what you mean.
So innovation is, I think, really at the forefront right now in a category that's becoming lifestyle more and more every year.
So exciting. Wow. There's a lot to talk about and a lot to look forward to.
Well, it's also interesting, too, that you think about as there's innovations or as there's needs to educate the consumer and businesses as regulations change or things that are just happening. We're at such an interesting moment where I think industry organizations now have an incredible opportunity to, you know, step up and educate, and actually that people are getting together around innovation as it relates to things like sustainability and transparency, you know, and stuff like that. So it's good to know. And also to share with our audience, who might be people who are outside the industry but interested in coming in.
I'm glad you brought that up. I don't think you even know this one yet. The Fragrance Foundation has had a very strong affiliation with FIT from the times of Annette Green, with Pratt and with Parsons. They're in New York. It's fashion related. A lot of people know about the fragrance industry. But what I realized when I took this on was across the United States, a lot of people don't know that you can actually have a job that you could love, and you could be in the fragrance industry. Some come through chemistry and become evaluators or perfumers. But I went to Lehigh University, and I studied marketing. And what did I know about beauty, and how did I wind up here? So we are starting a new initiative with the Fashion Scholarship Fund, which was big in the fashion industry. They have a network, and they reach out to about 150 schools across the nation, and they allow us to mentor, educate, and do special activities and go to the campus and let people know across the country that fragrance is really something that could become your livelihood.
Oh, wow. That's really exciting.
This is exciting.
I mean, I always wanted to be in the fragrance industry. Did I tell you?
No.
Oh, so when I started in beauty, I don't know if you know this, I worked at a small beauty and fashion PR firm, and my first project was the launch of Calcaflor. At Bergdorf Goodman. And I still, one of my best friends says, "You wearing your Calcaflor?" Many, many years later. Fast forward many years
here
back in the free, right. And so it's so great to, and I think I even remember, I have to say this, that when I was in college, I was so fascinated by the Fragrance Foundation. I think I even wrote Annette Green a letter.
Whoa.
Because I wanted to be in that industry. And it just came to me, you know, all these years later. It's just funny.
You know, the connection to this industry, a lot of people think about beauty in terms of makeup and getting in the industry, or a lot of different ways that it's so much more out there.
Yeah.
But there are so many different types of jobs.
There are.
So this is going to be very exciting for us. It's established in the fashion industry, and they saw it for many years.
That's great.
And I'm totally psyched about this because I think the more people know about it, also a big thing for me is bringing diversity into the industry. And it needs to be something that's widespread across the United States, that we welcome every talent, every type of person, and we really want to get them involved.
And because they may not even know how much they love it.
Right.
And, you know, when they hear, wow, that's a whole new category that they can be a part of and add their expertise. You know, I wanted to ask you about the world of retail versus the digital world, because that is a huge, a little bit of a disconnect, because you can't when you buy fragrance online mm-hmm. or through a channel, you can't smell it. You can only envision through imagery, video. But right. at retail, you can actually test it. Do you think that there are a lot of challenges today with getting that information to the consumer through the internet? How is that changing and evolving as more and more consumers are shopping online? I would think they love something, they find it, they sample it, then they buy it online. Has that changed the industry per se?
I think there have been changes because a lot of how people buy any category has changed. But this one in particular, like you said, you can't smell it.
Right. We don't have smell-o-vision yet. We will.
The industry has approached this in an interesting way, I think. More and more and more companies have discovery sets or sampling. Mm-hmm. And a good example is if for many that sell, some even sell just online, if you were to make a purchase, let's say of $25, $50, or $75 for a discovery set because you like the feeling you're getting when you hear the story that you read about on the internet or social media, mm-hmm. you can make that purchase. You have the supply, and within approximately like 10 days to probably 4 weeks, you decide which one is the one you really want. And whatever you paid for that discovery set is applied towards the full purchase, and it'll be shipped to your home. That's something a lot of people don't know.
Right.
They're
just starting to really ramp that business.
Yeah. I think it's good. Also, we started about storytelling, and a lot of people get engaged in a different kind of brand, and that really intrigues them, and they want to smell it. So the storytelling really helps. We're also doing we've engaged a small agency for an influencer campaign that we're doing right now during this Fragrance Day month, really. And the more people talk about fragrance and say what they prefer, and you don't want to buy something or wear something just because someone famous wore it or you like it. But if people can tell the story. In retail, though, which was a phase I went through right before this job, I believe that the experience in a store is being revved up. Everyone is challenged to get people into the store.
Yes.
But sampling is there. And same for makeup, people are intimidated. So the retailer really is responsible to allow the consumer to shop however they want versus how it used to be, which felt like a spray attack.
Right.
So I think that there's a lot more engagement by retailers to know that they need to let the story out. They need to find the right way to talk to consumers and have more and more events where people don't feel pressured to buy, but to simply experience. Yeah.
Well, I mean, who doesn't love to get samples from the beauty counter, right? I mean, that's the best, especially fragrance.
It's true.
Totally. And I think it's like kind of evolved, like, one of the trends around all the sets and personalization and even like mixing different scents. And so it's interesting to see like how, what once was like kind of the iconic brands mm-hmm. and or fragrances and licensing were so big, you started to see more and more trying different formats, right? Or different types of trends.
Also, the retailers have created quizzes. If you go online to any retailer now, if you like this, you might like that.
Right.
It's easy to find something else. Or if you have this kind of lifestyle, you might like this. And this, going back to the ingredients, most people can figure out in their home without smelling anything if it's citrus or floral or spicy, if this is sort of the way they want to go. And through a process of a quiz or elimination, I believe that retailers are becoming more united in their language, and that also helps the discovery without necessarily having, the scent right in front of them.
And I was just thinking, like, when you love a specific scent, you usually gravitate to mm-hmm. that in everything, mm-hmm. right? So you kind of already know. I don't know. I wonder what makes someone more interested and engaged in one fragrance as opposed to another. That's an interesting conversation, actually.
And sometimes you don't even know what it is, right?
Right. Well, so it's interesting, right?
It's such
a personal, it's so deeply personal scent. And
totally.
From what you as a human being relate to, like, why would I love vanilla? And, and that goes into my whole world, but something else may not speak to me that way. It's just a, I don't know, is it a DNA thing? What is it? What's I, the...
I have found is you've hit on it, but you didn't even know you said it. One thing that really sparks people to love a scent or a category mm-hmm. is a memory of their mother mm. or their grandmother or their aunt or their father or their uncle. They have a scent yes. associated from when they were a little child.
That's it.
Another one is your destination. Where do you go in the summer? Or where do you go on a family vacation? Or where did you go on your honeymoon? And different parts of the world really have different scents. If you're by the ocean, if you're in the mountains, if you're in the woods. So that's another thing that sort of sparks it. Or the time you met your husband, or you went on that blind date, or I came into this room and the person who has all the video equipment on smelled a certain way, and I thought, "Woo! I think I may like him." But scent is yes, very personal.
It is. But you're note, right. Yes. Yep. On that note, no, the memory of when your childhood, mm-hmm. the feeling—it goes back to the memory and the feeling of how you connect.
It's true.
On that note, this is a perfect segue to lead into our next session where we get to hit the pan with Linda and get to know her on a more personal level.
Makeup in Shanghai is the only B2B event in Shanghai with global makeup and skincare offers from ingredients, formulation, design, packaging, accessories, and full-service suppliers, along with workshops and conferences by top experts of the industry. The next edition, April 8th and 9th, 2020, at the Shanghai Exhibition Center. Whatever your project is, you can find the best contacts there. You can ask for a free badge on the website makeup-in-shanghai.com.
And now, it's Hitting the Pan.
So we are back and we are going to hit the pan with Linda Levy and get to know her on a more personal side. To decide who gets to ask the first question, we are going to take a spin at the salon chair. Mm. And it lands on Abby.
Mm. So Linda, take us away to a moment in your life that where you traveled and you reflect on beautiful scent and memories that transport you back to that time.
This is very specific to me. I grew up right near the Atlantic Ocean. So being at a beach has always been experiential as well as scent memory for me. I love the smell of that salt air. And when I was a little girl and we had a cabana by the beach, my mother used to splash herself with Giannetti. So it leads to my current life a few years later. But every time summer rolls around, my husband and I go to the Italian coast. And it brings me back in the memory in one way, because we go swimming in La Mare, and it's that salty smell. And in addition to that, because we do this almost every year for so many years, the smell of certain flowers that are on the coast of Italy, the bougainvillea, and the very specific flowers that are so voluptuous there takes me to the happiest place I can ever be. So it started early and it transcended into my current happy place.
Beautiful. Can I come? When are you going?
Sure. I'll pack you in the suitcase.
I'm in.
No, I was like visualizing this serene.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Very special.
Yeah.
So we'll take another spin at the salon chair. And it lands on me, obviously. So, Linda, you mentioned that you eat out almost every night for dinner, except for 6 days where you cook your amazing meals. So two questions, if I may. One, what's like one of your top two restaurants for us to try? And then what's your favorite recipe?
Ooh, I'm going to go to the recipe first if I can, and then
amazing.
I'll go. My famous dinner, and it's almost hard for me to get away from in, and anyone who knows me, is I make rock Cornish hens. I grill them, and I love whatever is in the market that day to season them with, either fresh tarragon or dill. Am I creating a little balsamico on top and a bit of wine? So my signature dish, without question, if you can just picture that Cornish hen lying out in the pan.
I'm there with you. I'm seeing that Cornish hen.
Yeah.
I love all the herbs.
From Cinderella to me. Yeah. So that, it's funny. It's festive.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
I think I just want to encourage everyone to take a step back before they say no to fragrance. And I want people to really enjoy the experience of discovery, what's right for them. We've talked about signature fragrances or memories, but most people can actually change their day by wearing a different fragrance. Mm. And most people can relate to the fact that it's a sunny, beautiful day, or it's a romantic evening, or it's that zen, relaxing time. So I'm pretty hooked on wanting everyone to find their special collection, not just their signature.
I love that.
I love that too.
And what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
We have a fabulous website, which is just fragrance.org. But I'm opening myself up personally because I'm about to hit a social milestone.
Ooh.
I'm heading towards 2,000 followers. So yeah, anyone can get
That's
in touch
exciting.
With me.
That's exciting. Follow yeah. Linda Levy.
Which is Linda _G_Levy, L-E-V-Y. I'm on Instagram, and I really like to meet people. I've met a lot of fabulous people that way.
Isn't that funny? Love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, the mission behind the Fragrance Foundation, and all the new innovations you guys are working on to bring the industry together and moving forward. Really
thank
appreciate
you so much. Thanks for having me. It's great to meet you. It's great to see you again, Abby, and Mr. Tech.
And thanks, Abby, for joining us on this journey and this conversation.
Awesome. Always great to see you, Linda. Be your co-host, Karen.
And this is Karen Moon, and we look forward to seeing you on the next show. Hugs and kisses.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Copyright 2019. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network. And find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.